Tea Time, Midlife Edition. It's not a coffee break. It's tea time. Slow down. Relax. It's your turn. Welcome, 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 welcome. Turn the tea kettle on. Pick your favorite tea. Grab your favorite teacup. Let it steep. Add what you will. Find a cozy spot. It's tea time. Midlife edition. Hi, this is Tea Time Midlife Edition, and I'm your host, Regina Young. And today's guest is Susan Salinger. Hi.
Oh, I'm fine, and thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. You know, today our topic is Sideline, How Women Can Navigate a Broken System. And let me tell you a little bit about Susan. Susan is the author and researcher behind the book Sideline, How Women Can Navigate a Broken Healthcare System. Sideline explains that many ways in which women manage and sometimes mismanage their healthcare. It was released in April 2022. Susan explains how women typically are the medical gatekeepers of their family, and they take care of everyone else, and then undermine their own healthcare. This is Susan. Hi.
Well, hi, and thank you. It's so interesting. Did you know, which I didn't until I did my research, that women do 80% of all the caretaking in the world? I mean, it's universal. It transcends cultures. I mean, that's fascinating to me.
Wow. I absolutely did not know that.
No, I didn't either. That makes two of us.
But wait just a minute before we get started. What kind of tea are you drinking? This is Tea Time Midlife Edition.
Right now I'm drinking coffee, but my favorite tea, I love chamomile and I love green tea. And I like lemon ginger. I like tea, you know?
You're a tea person. Okay, got it.
I'm a tea person, except in the morning for breakfast. So.
You need your coffee, huh?
Right, absolutely. And it's only 9 a.m. where I am, so that's breakfast time to me.
Oh, got it. That's right. Okay, got it. Where today I'm drinking Surreal Tea, which is more of an island tea. And it's known for helping with reducing inflammation for the digestive tract, as well as the respiratory tract. Also, it's a diuretic, but really it helps for detoxing the body. But check with your doctor and your herbalist to make sure it fits in your health regimen. So,
yeah, I never heard of it. I actually will check that.
It's wonderful. It's a very mild flavor, and it really does work. So I love the topic, Sideline, How Women Can Navigate a Broken System. Now, when I saw that, I was like, that's a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just midlife. It's a real thing from puberty to midlife and beyond, even more so, because this is that phase. What made you get interested in this area? How'd that come about?
My goodness. Well, you know, it was kind of a journey, because many years ago when I was much younger, I had some exploratory surgery that I knew I didn't need. I mean, I knew I had changed medication. I started having some symptoms. It seemed to me it was the new medication. I mean, obviously, doctor disagreed and insisted I have exploratory surgery. So I not only did I agree, but I insisted it be done sooner rather than later because I got scared. Anyway, they did the surgery. I was fine. That's just the backstory. Life goes on. I forgot all about it. And then many, many years later, my husband and I were in business together. And we finally, as we got older, we sold our business. Mm. And I retired for maybe 2 seconds. That did not work for me at all. So I went back to school and I took some classes. I took some anthropology classes. And for one of the classes, I had to do a project on women with hysterectomies. And much to my my surprise, many of them had agreed to the surgery, even though they didn't think they needed it. And that was a big deal because there was irrevocable. I mean, me, I just made a mistake. But they were, you know, it was a whole different situation. But in any event, that, of course, triggered my memories. And I began to wonder, how as women do we make our medical decisions? That's a big thing, to just agree with the doctor when you're not sure that the doctor's correct. So anyway, I interviewed, I don't know, 50 or 60 more women, all of whom had different diseases. And I was interested in how they made their decisions and some of the other behaviors that really went along with that. Wow. And I just extrapolated some behaviors they had in common, regardless of the particular disease. Mm. So that's kind of the journey of the book.
Wow, that is a very powerful, because I think a lot of women, you're right, we just agree. And sometimes we're not even clear that that's really the problem. That's usually the symptom. Yeah.
Right.
And then they start going about solving the symptom versus the problem.
Exactly. 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 Wow.
So how did you find these women? Because that's, you know, I'm
you
sure.
know, I found them over the internet. I went to different support groups, like a lupus support group, hysterectomy support groups.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know, hey, I'm a writer and I need to talk to you, or anybody interested in talking with me about their experience and what it felt like and how you felt about it. And I got a lot of replies. I mean, it was lovely. And I went to the women's homes. We talked over the phone and, you know, then I went to their homes and had a cup of tea.
See, it works every time.
Yeah, right. It does. And it was lovely. I mean, I really met some lovely, lovely women, and they were so generous and so interested in helping other women. It was fabulous. Just fabulous.
Yeah, I definitely could get that, because that's one of the things, because I'm part of a group too as well, for 25 years of sharing women of color, you know, whatever that is, what's going on with you physically? Can you take some tests? And it's just to give a different lens than the lens that we're all working from, because we're the same, but we're different. Yeah. So this is really great, because you were able to get I assume, broad view from different women of different ethnicities and everything.
Yes. Although, unfortunately, and I don't know why, this was just random, most of them were Caucasian. Mm-hmm. There were a few women of color. There were a few Latinas.
Okay. Got it.
But I got to say, you know, women get the short end of the stick in the healthcare industry. But you guys, women of color, get an even shorter end of the stick. I've been doing my next book. I'm going to be much more. I'm really going to insist on diversity.
Absolutely. And it really is a part of the big picture. But women themselves, doesn't matter what the ethnicity, they undermine the situation, because.
Yes.
And how do you, what was the input you got around that?
Well, quite a bit, actually. One of the things, there were a couple of things that really surprised me. One was that women put themselves last. I don't know why. I don't. So I didn't realize that. Yeah. So and that means that we can ignore our own health. And even if we think something's wrong, we put off going to the doctor. You know, we're busy. We take care of our kids or our parents. We have jobs. You know, there's no time. We got lunch to make and school plays to attend or whatever the hell it is. And so if we wait long enough, we can let a minor situation turn into a major one. And that's really not good. My advice is, from my own personal experience, as well as my research, that it's really important to make sure you get all your checkups, take all your tests, like you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. When you don't feel good, it's really hard to take care of other people. You know, you're irritable, you're tired, you have no energy, you have no appetite. I mean, it's just, you know, it's hard. You get aggravated. You want to sleep.
How would you recommend a person talk to a doctor? Because I just wonder, is there a disconnect? Where is the disconnect where, you know, the doctor seems to interpret something else versus what's happening for me?
Yeah.
Or get curious about what's happening.
I have a couple of suggestions. The first is, as women, we and I am so guilty of this, I can't tell you, but we tend to tell the doctor how we feel about it. We tell the doctor all of our feelings as well as our physical symptoms. Mm. And men are much more succinct, much more objective. But our the way, and this has happened to me, the way we describe our feelings can lead the doctor to a more psychological diagnosis. Women are told much more than men that we suffer from anxiety and depression. And the tricky part is we do suffer more than men from anxiety and depression, but not always, you know. So that's, I think, number one, it's the way we present ourselves. And I think we need to tell the doctor how we feel, but I think we have to be careful that our physical symptoms don't get lost in the morass of our feelings.
Fair to say.
And I do have some specific suggestions for how to talk to the doctor. And I think this is important. So I hope we have the time just for a minute. But
absolutely, please.
I think it's very important to go in with a written list of your symptoms. And the reason I say written, and I want to put that in italics, is that if you're like me, you get anxious when you go to the doctor. And I know that I have to tell him or her A, B, C, and D. But then I forget when I'm there and I'm talking and I forget. You know, I'll get to the A and the B, but I'll forget the C and the D. So if you go in with a list, it really helps focus the whole interview. And I think also it's very important, if you can, to get the clinical name of your diagnosis. And the reason I'm asking that is so you can get, if you have access to a computer, go home and look it up. Does this feel right to you? What are the symptoms of the disease that you've been diagnosed with? Do you have those? Does this feel right in your gut? What's the treatment? What tests are necessary? It'll give you a feeling of, you have to educate yourself so that it'll give you a feeling of control. And so, and you have to also go with your gut. You want to make sure that you don't want to be treated for a disease you don't have. Let's put it that way.
Fair to say.
Yes. And then I think it's also important, really important, to repeat back what you hear the doctor say. Huh. So many women don't do that. I think like 50% of women will leave the doctor's office not understanding what they've been said. And that's dangerous. If you repeat back, it gives you a chance to be sure that you heard correctly. And it gives the doctor a chance, excuse me, to confirm or correct what you've heard. Plus, it gives the doctor a chance to be sure that they said what they meant to say. I mean, we all misspeak.
True.
So I think those are really good ideas.
Yeah,
and I think
solid.
They will help control the dialogue. I'm losing my voice. Excuse me. I'll have my coffee here.
No, I really think that is really great ideas and suggestions to take on. Do you feel that you should bring a partner or somebody with you for just that reason?
Yes. Four ears are better than two. Definitely.
Fair
no
to say.
No question about it. And I am as guilty of that because I don't hear. I truly get anxious. And here I've done this research, written this book, and I go into the doctor's office and you'd think I couldn't even spell doctor. I mean, I just, my brain cells go out the window. I don't know what happens. So
I get that women, when they go to the doctor, they get anxious because I know
sure.
I do. I'm like, ugh.
And I'm sure men do too. I mean, I don't know because I didn't, but I'm sure they do. We all do.
I think we all do. Yeah.
Sure.
Do you feel like a woman, when they go to the doctor, they should be their own advocate or they should bring someone to be an advocate?
Both. Okay. Both. I think that, how do I say this? We've only got one body and it's our job to take care of it. And I think the more research you do, I'm big on research. I mean, I am a researcher, but this is important. The back of my book is the most important part, in all honesty. I have a whole resource list. I've done the research for you. I tell you, if you want to research your doctor, and I think you should.
Wow.
It tells you how to do that. The hospital, some hospitals specialize in cardiology, others specialize in neurology. I mean, depending where you live, like I'm near San Francisco, so I have a lot of choices. Yeah. But it's obviously better to go to a hospital that specializes in whatever your condition is. I mean, that's easy to figure out. But there's a lot of things you can research and there's a lot of information back there that you'll find very helpful. Hospitals are rated. Some hospitals get an A in cardiology. And others get a C minus. So go to the one with the A if you can't. I mean, obvious, you know.
Yeah. It appears obvious, but that's not actually a common thing. Some people just say, oh, it's in my area. I'll just go to this hospital or this
doctor. I would personally not do that. And some people don't have choices. If you live in a more rural area, it is what it is. But if you live in a big city where there's more than one hospital, and like the one near me is not particularly good, the ones in San Francisco are better. I mean, you know, and I'm out. I'm about an hour from San Francisco, 40 minutes from San Francisco. So,
yeah, the book is such a great resource because it really does offer more than ideas, actually actionable things you could literally take on to help yourself.
Like, and let me just say, I really seriously recommend the print edition. It's available in Kindle, but it's a resource, not a page turner. I mean, this is not Nora Roberts, you know. this is something that should be, I wish I could write as well as she should get a lot more money. But nevertheless, it's something that you want on your bookshelf so that when and if you have a problem or if you're questioning whether or not you should have a particular test, it'll offer the tests. It gives you stuff to think about and to do.
Yeah, and it sounds like it helps women to do their due diligence.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a missing because, we'll do it like to the 100th power for someone else.
Right. You're right. You are so right. I just want to say for a minute what the book isn't. This is a book on what to do. It's a book on behavior. It's not a book on living with diabetes or living with lupus. And I wanted to be clear about that.
Thank you for the clarity because, it's a resource book.
Yes.
It's really what it is. So,
and it's short, which is great.
Which is always helpful.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes. And now the question begs to ask is how long did it take you to get the book organized?
Oh my goodness. I'm embarrassed to say it took 10 years.
I understand.
Obviously. But you know, I've been writing all my life because I wrote the scripts. We were in the film business, but nevertheless, I had to learn what I was doing. I'm on a second book now and it's going much faster, but I had to learn how to research, how to organize my files and my notes. I mean, it was a huge learning curve and my kids were younger when I started it. Well, no, they. I guess I had young grandchildren. It wasn't my kids.
Got it.
But never. I mean, you know. So I was distracted for part of. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You were living life. Yeah.
Yes, I was.
That's midlife.
Right.
But this is your second act. So this
is indeed.
Awesome.
And in fact, that leads me to say something only because of the. You know, I know what your audience is a little bit. Is everybody said, why are you writing a book? You're in your 60s, your 70s. I mean, you're too old. And I'm thinking I'm in my 60s and 70s anyway. I might as well have a book. I'm 81 now and I'm writing my second book and I'm getting the same stuff. Why are you doing that? Well, because it gives me a great deal of satisfaction.
Absolutely. And you can.
But anyway, you know, what am I going to do instead? Get bored.
You know, I really like you can. So why not?
Right. Exactly. That's me. Yeah.
That is awesome. How can people get a hold of you? Because that's just really great. And how can they get the book and all that?
Well, the book is available on Amazon. It's available wherever books are sold. My name is spelled Salenger. So it has a little different spelling, but just put in Sideline. You'll get a bunch of sidelines because everybody used that title, which I found out afterwards, but it'll be there. And I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I weightlift. Oh. And so I have Grandma Gains, G-A-I-N-S. I'm on TikTok, but I have, you know, you can DM me on Instagram or my email, whatever.
Well, the good thing is it's going to be in the show notes. So we'll be they'll be able to find you and get a hold of you and have conversations and follow you on Instagram. But I want to thank you for sharing the time with us and sharing the book, because even if you didn't get it right on the front end, here's an opportunity to get it right on your second act. And most of all, put you on the list.
And you know, from where I'm looking, midlife, you guys are babies.
Okay, we're still growing. The glass is half empty. Right. What are you going to do? it's been such a pleasure talking to you. And have a great day. And thanks for sharing.
Well, and cheers. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Cheers. It's been Tea Time Midlife Edition.
It's tea time, midlife edition.